believe 3 weeks from today is Easter. 3 weeks from today. Yeah. Thank God he rose. Some people didn't, and that's why they're not here this morning. She said, thank God he rose. Yeah. Y'all forgot. A good thing 3 weeks from now, you got to remember that. Okay? Okay. Now I want to talk to you about something else. 1 year ago today, 1 year ago today was a Saturday in March. And I remember this day very specifically. Why? Because Governor Reynolds came out and said, hey, if you have this certain amount of people, you got to be shut down. There's this thing called COVID-19 that is sweeping our land, the United States of America. And all kinds of governors all over were making decisions they didn't want to make but had to make at the time. So 1 year ago, right now on this date, is when I remember receiving that message, watching that online and going, what are we going to do? And the next day we shut down church. Why? Because I wasn't allowed to have people in the house, and we didn't even have online live stream at the time. Now, if you remember Pastor Cody, my youth pastor, him and I, the rest of the week, we went to Best Buy 3 times. And we were just all over the place buying whatever. We just walked in and said, what do we need to buy? We need all of whatever you say. Help us, right? And so then we got it all set up, and then the very next Sunday, we went live. But man, 1 year ago today in Iowa, was a big day, but look at us now. Amen? So thankful that we're able to meet together again, and you know what was going to happen anyway. God's church eventually, you know, we got to think about what's going on. We got to use our noggins. We got to use our heads. We got to use God's wisdom, but we also use the Spirit of the living God inside of us, so we make not only head knowledge, we make spirit decisions as well. But at the time, we were thinking, what is going on? Nobody really knew, but now, right now, it's really cool what God is doing. And this week, church, hopefully you're on Facebook, or like I said before, if you're not on Facebook, you're not on our email list, you're not on our phone calls, you better get there and you better get with Sherry, because I'm making a big announcement Wednesday morning about some things that are taking place here at First Home Bible. Okay? I believe we start opening some things up. Amen? We start moving forward. Okay? We're going to start doing that, but it's just wild. It's super cool to look back, and sometimes we don't realize where God is in our life at the time. We don't realize how God is holding us, pulling us, pushing us, dragging us at the time, but we look back and we say, okay, there you are. You know what's cool is COVID never shut the church down. It never did. What it did is it spread the gospel in a new way. I mean, First Open Bible, we are online right now. You like it or not, man. And just so you know, yes, the camera puts on 10 pounds. Okay? I can't hold that too long. My belt's like, oh, thanks for the break, man. Hallelujah. You can't shut the church down. We are the church. If you're in a building or not in a building, if you're online or not online, if you're meeting together, two or more gathered, in the midst of us will be God, his presence. He won't shut us down just because we couldn't meet for a little bit in the house. If you think this is what church is and this is all that it is, you are sorely mistaken. You are sorely mistaken. What's awesome about a Sunday morning is we come together in body or online or whatever, and we come together, and man, we build each other. The presence of God is powerful on a Sunday, but it can be just as powerful tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And it can be just as powerful if we didn't meet in here, we met out there. It could be just as powerful that the 27th, when we're all going out and spreading the gospel by giving people boxes of food in a refrigerated truck. Amen. If you weren't here early, you don't get the joke because you missed it. But and we're going to go out. See, when God's people are together, his presence is there. Amen? Well, here we are, 1 year later in the month of March. First Open Bible, our theme is, you remember? One person remembers. Two people. Say it like you know it. Consumed. Consumed. Consumers consume. I'm just going to jump on it. If this morning you said, oh man, the worship, it's just, I don't know, or, you know, whatever, you have the wrong mindset walking in here. You are a consumer. If you're like, man, if I just don't necessarily agree with all things, or I don't really like this red carpet, or maybe the instruments are too loud, or I don't like this voice or that, whatever, you are a consumer and not a follower of Jesus Christ. You're a consumer, and consumers consume. And many things in our life, they battle for the throne of our hearts. Who sits on the throne of your heart will be the one that you worship. And if it's not God on that throne, it's an idol. So what or who are you consumed by? God wants to satisfy and solidify your heart today by helping you destroy your idols. Amen? I want to pray for us. I want us to get into an attitude of destroying our idols this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Actually, will you stand? Let's stand one more time. I want us to pray. Will you just extend your hands if you feel comfortable? Just extend your hands as if you're going to receive something. Father in heaven, we ask that right now, any idol in our life other than you, God, if we're not worshiping you, any other idol in our life right now, we invite you to demolish it, to let it fall at your feet. We give it to you. Even if it's the idol of self, let it fall right now. We invite you right now. We receive your word today. And God, I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, convict the things that you want to convict so we can be free. And free indeed. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Idolatry. Idolatry is not an issue. It is the issue. Amen? Now I'm preaching already better than your amen. I got like two people. Yes. Hallelujah. Right? Come on now. Y'all know that's give and take. Give and take. I pray that this series will help you understand and recognize there are false gods at war within each of us. The battle for the throne of glory and control of your life is a very real thing. I pray we could all clear a path from the heartache of our generation's idolatry and get back to the heart of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So there's a God in heaven. He is the master of all creation. He's the father to all his children, and he sits on the throne. Then there is a lesser, an imitation, a pretender who sits on a throne, and that pretender is an idol. Who will you serve? Who is allowed to rule the throne of your heart? So what is idolatry? Idolatry is serving, bowing, or allowing to rule anything or anyone other than God in your life and for your family. God should be, he can be, and is commanded to be your all in all. He's the only one suitable to be on that throne anyway. So I want to encourage you, give him all of you, your thoughts, your dreams, your pain, your celebration, your strength, your approval, your affirmation, and your life. Why? Because nothing else will satisfy. Nothing. But in our brokenness, we feel the pull to worship other things. Welcome to being a human. In our brokenness, we feel the pull to worship other things. In our brokenness, we feel the pull to worship self. We think, why serve when we can rule? So in America, we have everything we need to be our own gods. So we develop not only a lifestyle, but a mindset that we can create a universe, that we can create a life better than the one that was created by the Creator. In our brokenness, we feel the pull to worship self over God. And this is something that we're going to battle with every day. Church, say every day. Every day we're going to battle with that. Here's something else that we're going to battle with every day as well. In our brokenness, we feel the pull to worship others. So the Bible teaches a concept of having the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says this in the first two verses. I'm going to read it out of NLT. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey these decrees and these commands, you will enjoy a long life. Amen? Having a fear of the Lord is an understanding that God is on the throne and nothing else is. He is the ultimate authority. He's the ultimate final say. Fearing God is a place of understanding. It's where we get our identity. It is where we find rest, comfort, peace, and wisdom in all that we do. Because we fear Him and we stand in awe of Him. We sang that this morning. For He knows all, sees all, and still forgives and shows mercy to us with an everlasting love. Why should we fear God? We should fear God because of His matchless power as the Creator of all. We should fear God because He gives life and He takes it away. We should fear God because of His perfectness and His holiness. We should fear God because He alone is judge and He alone is the absolute truth. In our fear of God, we are freed from all destructive and satanic fears. By fearing God, we avoid being trapped. If you fear God, you understand your relationship with Him. If you fear God, you will understand your relationship with Him. If you fear God, you'll also understand your place with Him. If you fear God, you will honor Him as the God of great glory, majesty, and power. And if you fear God, you will put your complete faith and your complete trust in Him and in Him alone. But we have an idol in our lives as American Christians. We have a fear that is not of God. It is the fear of man. Today's message is titled, Fear of Man. I'm going to ask some of you, and Sherry also online, I want you to go ahead and comment. I guess I don't need that. You just shout it out and I'm going to say it. Think about some things right now. What are some fear of men that you see in today's culture? What's a fear of man in today's culture? Say it out and I'll repeat it here. Acceptance. Fear of man in today's culture. Rejection. Failure. Trust. Validation. Judgment. Anybody online? COVID. Somebody about to come up here and preach. Is that you, Brother Bob? Woo! Come on now. Government. Okay, we got dual preachers in here. Come on now. Taxes. Uh-oh. Pride. The unknown. Anybody online? Nobody. Come on online, people. The future. Fear of man. Fear of man. What else in our society? We have a fear of man. Change. Money. You know what's funny in church? Everybody wants change, but nobody wants to change. Okay, moving on. Go ahead. Somebody says something over here? Mortality. All right. Anything else? Control. Humanity? Inhumanity. Somebody else say something? Changing your past. Okay. Forced compliance. Okay, now we're getting in some strongholds. Come on. Y'all taking us to some weird places. Okay. I see that. Psst. All right, I got another sermon. Anybody online? Control. Amen. Amen. These are great. The fear of man, is an idol of perpetual disappointment and letdowns. This is an idol of empty promises and heartache. But church, we worship it. We have a fear of man, and God wants the idol to fall in your life today. The fear of man often goes undiagnosed and unaddressed because it wraps itself in robes of superficial love. Here's what I mean. It disguises itself in pretending to count others better than ourselves, when in fact we are really counting on others to fan the flame of our self-worth. We fail to confront or even recognize the fear of man because so oftentimes the idol looks like love. But really, it is just trying to look loving but not actually be loving. This idol blinds us. This idol traps us from love and even love himself. Here's the key verse this morning. It's Proverbs 29:25. And it says this: fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Those who fear man will always be trapped. Those who fear man will never be free. Those who fear man will never love like Jesus loved. They just won't. The fear of man is one of the greatest agendas the enemy has right now, and it's working in our midst. And it's not just out there, it's in the church. It's a spiritual stronghold. It's a major, major idol that many are worshiping in their lives right now. Did you bring some steel boots this morning? Okay, take them off. Take them off. Hallelujah. Because here we go. Fear of man. What is the fear of man? Fear of man is trusting people for your significance. The fear of man is seeking affirmation of others. The fear of man is trusting people with your future. The fear of man is trusting people for your finances. The fear of man is trusting people for your health. The fear of man is trusting others with your needs. The fear of man is trusting your value and your worth to humans. The fear of man is a dangerous trap. We need to break it off in our lives. If we put our hearts in the eyes of others, we're going to be disappointed. And we will be crushed, and the anger inside of us will undo us. Their disappointments will destroy us. How about the lack of likes on your posts? Ah, man, I only got 30. I was way better than this one that had 70, right? Now we laugh, but seriously, if you got something, you probably thought it at one point. The lack of likes on our posts, the approval that everyone should like us. Why doesn't that person like us? What did I do wrong? How do I win them over? Or being politically correct instead of biblically correct. or trying to look a certain way or dress a certain way or hold a certain status. It goes on and on and on. These things put our trust and fear in man and not in God. God has to be big, church. He's got to be big. He's got to be bigger than their expectations. He's got to be bigger than their disappointments. He has to be bigger than their anger for you. God has to be big enough to fear him alone. So how do you get into a healthy spot in your life? To operate out of the fear of the Lord instead of operating out of the fear of man. It starts with this, church, if you're taking notes. It starts with this. You start with renewing your mind. Renew your mind. You've been acting a fool. Renew your mind. I'm telling them. Tell myself too. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. When that happens, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect. Your significance is not in what other people think about you. But unfortunately, so often, that's at the core of the fear of man. All right, let's take evangelism, for instance. Evangelism is a wonderful example. One of the reasons why we fear witnessing to someone else is we're afraid of being rejected. We get spiritual lockjaw. We're terrified of saying anything to anyone because we're afraid of the rejection of man. We need a change. We need a total change of our psyche. Even when we are rejected, we are to rejoice. Because we're bearing the image of Christ who was despised and rejected by men. The word says this, who came unto his own and his own received him not. You remember the story when Jesus, He said, if you go out and go house to house, city to city, to town, go to all these people, and if they receive the word, that's awesome. If they don't, what do? Shine those bad boys up again. Dust it off and walk on. Ephesians 6:7 says this. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. When we are insecure, we are reactionary. But Jesus calls us to be merciful. He says, don't react, but instead engage. Step into another's shoes with God's love. See a big picture and church, die to self. So someone might come to Christ through your death. Let that simmer for a moment. Die to their approval so you can help lead them to freedom and you can be free yourself. Our life is not for our significance, and it's not for our acceptance. It's for God's glory. If we serve people with this man-fearing agenda, we will rise and we will fall upon their rejection and their approval. We can't even serve people well. I can't serve you well if all I do is care about what you think of me. You can never serve another person if all you do is care about the fear of them, and you can't even serve God well with this kind of mindset. The only way to serve people well is to fear God and not man. When you fear God, you will finally see others through Christ's eyes. You'll see others with his heart, and you're going to see others with his mission. I just thought of this. You understand his mission was to die, right? Think about that. Jesus came to earth, yes, to free us, to save us, to set us free, but there's only one way to do that. Blood's got to spill. Death has to happen. The mission of Jesus was to come and teach us how to live a life of holiness, how to live for other people and sacrifice, and he taught us, and he lived life so he could die, so we could live. And if you're a Christian, you're to be like Christ. That's what it means. Christian is little Christ. But yet there's not enough dying happening. I was free. I don't even know. Jesus is our example. He was completely whole. He was completely submitted to the Father. Jesus didn't even want to die on the cross. You know that, right? If this cup can pass from me, let it. AKA, I don't want to die on the cross. I don't want to suffer. But it's not my will. It's your will that should be done and will be done. See, Jesus was completely whole. He was completely submitted to the Father, and he was completely dedicated to love people, if they approved of him or not. The way you fear God and him alone is to allow God to deal with your own insecurities. Let him deal with your trauma and give him your idols. So the brokenness in the American culture has gripped the Christian community. We do out of significance instead of out of faithfulness. I won't say that again. We do out of significance instead of out of faithfulness. We do so much for the approval of man and not the approval of God. We find our significance in popularity, prosperity, power, and prestige. We've fallen into the trap of believing the lie that we are only worth something if we have something to give to others. But the gospel teaches us to die to all things, give everything to God, and live a life of sacrifice. You are not significant because you have something meaningful, that you bring something meaningful. You are significant because of who you are in Christ, which is the answer to significance. If we seek worldly significance, we're only using people to tell ourselves that we are valuable instead of trusting the work of the cross. Romans 14:8 says this: if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. Church, now hear me. You're finally going to understand the meaning of life. You will finally understand the meaning of life when you finally die to self. Because that is when you realize your life is for the salvation of others and not their approval. When you accepted Christ, that day you died. He lived, right? He lived, he died, so we could live and so we could die. The fear of man. The core of this idol is this. It's insecurity. You will know you have the fear of man or the fear of God when you pass the test of rejection in your life. Who do I serve? Man, if somebody rejects you and somebody breaks you down and hurts you, how do you react? That'll prove who you really serve. Who holds the spot of the throne on your heart? Who are you consumed with? Church, we have an idol in the way. We pursue happiness and the approval of others. See, but the Bible and Jesus tells us that we are to seek faithfulness and obedience, but we pursue approval and popularity. Fear of man has made us ineffective. Literally, if you didn't care what anyone thought about you in here, you'd worship a different way. You really would. You wouldn't care if you're just acting a fool. God, I'm all in. This is all for you. You dance like David. We got too many Michaels. Come on now. Y'all didn't catch that. You better read that story. You would go out of this place and you would preach the gospel like nobody's ever seen. Why? Because you don't care. Right? You care enough that you don't care. Does that make sense? I care enough about your salvation that I don't care if you're going to like it or not. I care enough about your life that I don't care about my own, that I am in his arms and in his favor. He's the one who gives me all that I need, and I'm not going to be crushed if you reject it. But I'm going to rejoice if you accept it. We would serve a different way. This wouldn't be the only time that we'd see you here at First Open Bible on a Sunday morning. This wouldn't be the only time that we see you serving or consuming. Come on now. We would change our life completely. Our psyche would change completely if we served God with a fear of the Lord wholly. Amen? But unfortunately, the fear of man has made us ineffective. Something has to be dethroned this morning. Something has to die today. Galatians 2:20 says this. My old self has been crucified with Christ. And some of y'all were never cool anyway. Just give it up. Hallelujah. I'll set somebody free. That set me free. I was never cool. Hallelujah. I don't need to be. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, having fear of the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Living a life out of the fear of the Lord instead of the fear of man starts with the basic understanding of this, being a disciple of Christ. Church, say disciple. A disciple of Christ dies to self so they can live for him. You must die to the approval of others. We have to die to self before we find our fullness in Christ. Die to self, find fullness in Christ. Fullness in Christ is found in dying to self. You must die to self to be full of God, and you're never going to be full of God if you're full of yourself. And you're never going to be full of God if you're full of other people and opinions. And somebody said it over here, a little sweetie over here, said, oh, your past, what people said about you, what you claimed about you, the stigma, the labels, the pain. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. And how do I do it? By trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and he gave himself up for me. Our fullness in Christ is found in the fear of the Lord. And our relationship with God is key. Key. We have to stay close to our first love. All right, before I wrap it up here, I want us to go back to the key verse that I talked about earlier, Proverbs 29:25 in the NLT. Proverbs is also known as a book of wisdom. If you need some wisdom, bust it open, read one. You'd be like, ooh, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Okay, I didn't do that, and now I see why. Yeah, that's what happened to me, right? Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Now we just talked about a whole bunch of dangers, a whole bunch of traps of what it means to fear other people and not God. But it also tells us in this verse how we can be safe as well. The way to destroy this idol is a deep, abiding, and growing trust in God. I don't know what's going to happen, but I trust him. I got sick, but I'm going to believe in his healing. Right? The bank account ain't very good. I don't need a stimulus check. I need God. Right? Thank you for the check. I'm going to tithe on it. Now I'm getting church with you. Okay. I'm going to tithe on it. You got to give some of that back to God. However, which way you think. Whatever God says, you got to give some of that back. Right? Thank you, government, for giving me another opportunity to bless somebody for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Right? Thank you for that. Okay? 5 people going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to do that. We already claimed that. That's what we're doing. We're going to give some to the Lord, however he wants to do. How do you destroy this idol? You got to be deep with your relationship with God. You got to abide in him. You have to grow in the trust of God. Don't just trust things of this world. You got to trust God. We have to find our refuge, right? I'm in trouble. Before you run to that attorney, run to the one that stands in place between our sin and the Father, our advocate. We find refuge. Can't find it in the praises and the approval of one another, but we have to find it in the arms and the heart of heaven. Simply put, church, if you're going to get anything out of today, I want you to know this. We must fear him and never fear them. We must fear him and never fear them. We must fear him and never fear them. I'm never going to fear them because I fear him. I won't fear them because I fear in him. I will fear in him and I won't fear them. Proverbs 14:20, verse 27 says this, fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. Hallelujah. It offers escape from the snares of death. It offers escape from those dangers, from those traps that we find in our world today. There's only one healthy and holy fear in this life. It's the fear that overflows with security, stability, and joy. The fear that breeds peace, a peace that surpasses what? Our understanding. It is the fear of the Lord. I want to ask you a question this morning and for the rest of your life. You will battle with this. You're going to battle. Do I allow God to rule my life or do I rule my life? Am I going to allow God to rule my life or are other people going to rule my life? So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you going to allow the person of the Holy Spirit to rule your life? Are you going to allow the Spirit of the living God to speak to you right now? Will you allow him to fill your heart right now? Fill your eyes and your ears and your mind. Will you let the Spirit of the living God this morning fill your significance? By the Spirit of the living God, God is going to turn people pleasers into God pleasers right now. Right now. Right now. I will fear him and I won't fear them. I won't fear you. I will love you. I'll give my life for you, for the gospel. But I'm gonna fear God and I won't fear you. I'm not gonna fear if you're mad at me. I'm not gonna fear if you don't accept this word that I'm about to present to you. I'm not gonna fear that you don't like me or you like me because I'm a Christian and I'm not afraid of being a Christian. I'm not going to be afraid of what you say or what you think of me. I don't find my significance. Listen, when I go before the Lord, who's gonna stand next to me? Even my wife won't be by me. I stand alone. I answer for what I did and said in Jesus' name. There's not going to be a bunch of people up here advocating for me or going against me, fighting me. It's me, Jesus, and the throne. Come on now. By the Spirit of God, people pleasers are turning around into God pleasers. The control others have on you will be wiped away. It'll be demolished as this idol of fear of man will fall this morning. Worship team, will you come? I'm gonna pray for you. If you need, worship team, you can come if you want. Unless you need this, forget about playing any instrument, except you, Brandon, I kinda need you. I can minister to you later. But if there's a fear of man in your life and you want that idol to fall, I need you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Listen, if you can't stand to your feet right now, this is a bad start of fear of man. It's a bad start. If you're at home, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Your family can see it. Family can see it if they need to. Thank you, honey. Fear of man. And listen to God real quick. Fear a man. Fear a man. Fear a man. Let me see your eyes. Look in my eyes. God loves you so much. He's proud of you. He wants you to fight. Keep fighting. Keep fighting for the salvation of others. Keep fighting for the salvation that you know about in your life. God loves you so much. He's proud of you. He understands that you're a human. He understands that you're going to fall. That's why he had to send a Savior. The approval of others won't matter. What matters is what he thinks about you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. He's proud of you even when you fail. He knew you would. But he wants you to do something. He wants you to run. Run to the cross. He's the best dad you'll ever have. And maybe you didn't have a daddy. Maybe your daddy wasn't so good here on earth, but that's okay. Father in heaven will never let you down. He'll never leave you, forsake you. Not only that, not only does he love you, he's going to empower you to do the things that he's called you to do. The places he's called you to go, to open up your mouth, lock jaw, be done in the name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost, speak up, open your mouth. Speak love everlasting. Speak love with boldness. You might never see that person again, and that's all right. Leave an everlasting impression. Leave a stamp of Jesus upon them. Maybe you need to stop in Hy-Vee and say, oh, God has a message for you. You don't need to tell him this, by the way. You don't have to say, you know, I don't care what you think about me. That's a bad start. Just know that in your heart and in your mind, okay? Know that in your heart and your mind. But what you need to do is you need to walk up to him and don't be afraid of what's going to happen. Who cares? If you're in an aisle, come on now. If you're in a check stand and somebody you got to pray for, man, they can go find another place if they don't want to be a part of it, right? There's other ones over there. You go find some. Go check out yourself, right? I got to minister to somebody right here. Or maybe God, I just feel there's a blessing that's coming upon people right now that you're going to have enough finances that maybe you're going to pay for something. And at that opportunity, you say, wow, why are you doing that? You said, because Jesus told me to. Use the word Jesus. Don't say God because there's all kinds of gods in this world. Say the name Jesus told me to. And I got a message for you today. right? Hey, you checker, listen to this too. You need it, right? Man, you just get filled with the Holy Ghost. Walk out. I'm telling you, you'll be freer than a bird. You'll be so free. God is doing something amazing right now. I'm just encouraging your spirit. I just want to encourage your spirit that you can do it. God believes in you. He doesn't only believe in you. He's put a spirit of living God in you to go out and do the things that you can't do. The only way that you know it's God is because you stepped out in faith beyond yourself. Don't worship yourself. Don't worship others. Worship him. Fear him alone. And if you do that, you'll be an ambassador for Jesus. You'll die to self and you will be a Christian. That's what Christians do. They die to self and live for God. I just want to pray something over you, and then I'm just going to listen to what God is saying. You guys might sing, you might not, I don't know. Maybe I'll play that instrument, I don't know. Let me pray something over you. If you're standing and the fear of man is in your life right now, will you just, international sign of surrender, just lift it up, just lift it up, just lift it up. Spirit speak to them like you can. Each and every soul at this very moment, exactly where they need it. Somebody has a past relationship and the ties that you have in that relationship has caused you to be an ineffective because of the things that have been said and the regrets that have taken place. You think about that constantly, and it is causing you not to step out in faith. And God is breaking that idol right now in the name of Jesus. Get right with that person. You go. As far as it is to you, have peace with that person, and then leave it there. Leave it for God to deal with and move on. Dust your feet off and go. Thank you, Father. I just see a shift in political opinions in this room. Political opinions. You're going to stop sending so many political opinions and you're going to start sending biblical Bible verses. You're going to see what is going on in our political parties and the things that are going on in our government and the things that are going on from the top to the bottom and in our school systems and places that you are recognizing with the Spirit of God. And you're not afraid of man, but you're not going to keep speaking the man words or the articles that were written by man. You're going to start speaking the words that were breathed by the Spirit of God to set the captive free. And you're going to start speaking to those situations with the Word of God. There's a shift happening. There's going to be a breakthrough in the things that God's going to, He's going to give you a new anointing to write things and say things that you've never said before because the wisdom and the knowledge of God is going to take place in your life. He's breaking that right now. There's this stronghold. And you think it's not a stronghold, but it consumes your mind. It consumes your thoughts, and most of all, consumes the one thing that Jesus says that you have to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and He was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Your mouth keeps speaking things of man when it should speak things of God. Lockjaw be broken in the name of Jesus. Open up the floodgates. Rivers of living water are going to pour out of you by the Spirit of God. Father, we just stand here today and we ask that the spirit of man be broken in our lives. Idol, you must fall at the feet of Jesus. All of us want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. God, we want to serve you and not man. We want to serve you and not ourselves. Give us the boldness of the things that we can't do on our own. Give us the boldness to love people like you did. Even if we are rejected, we will love them anyway. Give us tough skin and soft hearts that when we have rejection, it bounces off. But God, we have a soft heart to go to the next one. Past rejections right now, there's a lot of people in here, I think almost everybody who has their hands raised, there is past rejections that have just destroyed your heart, and you are hesitant in walking out in that again. You're hesitant in going out and doing those things that God has called you again, and he's setting you free right now, and he's reminding you that you hide in the cleft of his rock, that he is your fortress, your redeemer. He's the one that you need to look to, that you don't look to these past things and these past hurts, that your security is not in the pain, but your security is in his presence. God, may you give it to him right now. Break it off in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, if you're comfortable and you have the fear of man, I just want to invite you up to the front just to worship in this last song in the way that God calls you to. If you need to dance, if you need to lay before the Lord, or if you need to be on your knees, but you need to give him a physical sacrifice to get a spiritual uplifting, or make where you're at right now an altar. Where you're at right now, you gotta make this. You gotta apply this to your life right now. Right now. You cannot walk out those doors the same. You cannot. You have to change your mindset. Everyone, right before we do this, lay your hands on your head right now. It says in your word that if we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover, Lord. And right now, we ask for a renewing of our minds right now. Renew our minds in a new way. May we walk out in faith in the way that you've called us to. Renew our minds not of this world. We've died to this world, and we live for you. Renew our minds for your purpose, your plans, and whatever you've called us to at this very hour. God, we give you the rest of today and the rest of our life. And God, I pray that there's a transformation. Let it start in our minds. Let it start in our hearts. And may we go out with the boldness of the Holy Spirit. And let's change the world, because you, the world changer, lives in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Compared to you, oh God, there's none like you in all the earth. Your reign in wonder and in awe, we're soon a coming King of endless worlds.